Hey, everybody. No, it's not Monday again. We're just doing a Tuesday extra. Yeah. You know what I should do? I should probably just make a generic, a haunting show, because then we don't have to worry about, like, yeah, we'll do on Mondays, but then if we do it on another day, I don't feel, like, really weird about it. You know? Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it's a good drink.
What? Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a good drink.
What did you make?
It's rum, pineapple juice, and just a little touch of damn passion fruit.
Yeah.
It's good, yeah.
Samantha says, the house in this episode has seen way too much paranormal activity and demonic activity and should be bulldozed. I kind of feel like when we were watching it last night, Tom said, I'm pretty sure, like, they used that same house, like, on another episode. It did look familiar, but I don't know if they used it on another episode or if we just seen this episode so many times. I had forgotten about this episode, and I'm glad somebody, like, recommended it because I was like, this is a really good one, and I had completely forgotten about it.
Yeah, it's like a movie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that house was used in several different episodes.
Mm.
The front of that house, they painted it, but I remember that architecture. I think they painted that house 3 or 4 times.
I want to say, and I don't know if this is correct, I'd have to go back and watch it, but you know the episode they did about, shit, man, what was that dude's name, like the well from hell thing, like with Arnie, whatever, that like end up killing somebody later?
Yeah.
I kind of thought that, like, they used the house for that, but I could be wrong. Maybe it just kind of looked like that. I'm not really sure. But the one with the, yeah, with the well in the back that, like, the demon came out of or whatever. That was based on that real case. Arnie Cheyenne Johnson, that's his name.
Yeah.
But I think, like, they on the show, they actually didn't, they didn't talk about how he killed a dude later on.
Yeah.
And tried to use the demon as a defense. We did a show about that.
Man, another night of damn drinking.
We got to drink tomorrow night too, because tomorrow night's the major. I mean, don't have to.
3 nights in a row.
But it's always fun. I'm just glad I didn't drink that much at the club. I just had like 2 or 3 of those just little cans, like weak ass cans.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough week.
It is. Well, yeah. But well, that's what I told you. I said, well, what else is there to do?
Everybody's still coming in. Yeah, this was a good episode though. It was kind of like one of the top tier episodes.
Yeah, this was actually season 3. This is from season 3. Yeah, season 3,
it's
episode
good.
9. So we've been doing a lot of season 4 ones, but yeah. Yeah, Danny Rowling said, yeah, the Arnie Johnson episode was used, they did use this house. Okay, so I'm not crazy. I thought it looked familiar.
Yeah, they just
wasn't so much the front of the house that was familiar, it was the way that the yard was situated, like, in relation to the house, like, when they pulled up in front of it. I don't know why, it just, like, reminded me of that episode. So
the episodes kind of blend together anyway. I have a hard time telling them apart if you've watched a bunch of them at once, and over time, they kind of blend together, so...
They do, yeah.
So, you know, seeing the house more than once, you don't know if it's your imagination or what. we gotta say thanks to...
Yeah, we got, like, a little shout-out
to
friend of the show... Louis.
Yeah, Louis Hernandez.
Who sent us, look at that.
The Steelbook edition of Sicario.
Steelbook of Sicario. That's a great cover, actually.
I've seen Sicario, and I thought he sent that to me already, but it wasn't a Steelbook. I don't have a Steelbook of it. So maybe he sent that to me. I think he sent that to me before, and I didn't review it. So now he's saying, review the fucking movie.
We still haven't. Yeah, because you watched it when...
You didn't see it, though, I don't think, did you?
Yeah, well, you and...
me and Sophie
Watched it, like, one day when I was working.
That's what it was.
Like, when she was visiting. And I didn't get to... I didn't see it yet.
Yeah. I think maybe Sophie gave me one of those.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe Sophie gave us the first one.
Maybe, yeah.
So maybe, because maybe that's why she watched it when she was here.
I got the second one, too, but you know what I mean?
I still haven't seen the
first. If somebody sends me something like that, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, I'll review it. But, yeah, I guess we never reviewed it. I've just seen it.
No, we haven't reviewed it, because, like I said, I'm sure I haven't
seen it. It's a great movie.
I kept meaning to get around to it, but
the second one's even better.
I just never did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, we've talked about that before, too, about how I think, like, the main... I really like A Haunting. It's kind of like... Because all the, most of the titles of them are so generic, like, you always kind of, like, forget which one. Yeah. But in a way, that's kind of good, because then you can watch them over again and go, oh, this is this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when we first started, I couldn't remember, like, which one The Presence was, because, like I said, that's a very generic title. So when we started watching, I was like, oh, yeah, like, this one's actually really good. So, you know, that's how that happens. So you would still like a surprise, like, every single time. Maybe that's why they named them like that.
They're extremely rewatchable anyway.
They are, yeah. I mean,
It's like junk food TV, real relaxing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's. I mean, it's the guy's voice. It's the music.
Yeah,
it's a lot of stuff.
Kind of a familiar cast. You see the regular ones come back,
and you're like, "Hey, yeah, they were the ones that like had the demon pull their face off in that other episode."
So some can kind of, you know, stretch credulity, but that's really when you start getting into fucking season 7 and 8. When season 8 is pretty rough. Okay.
Now, there are a couple of good... Now, we've been rewatching season 8. Yeah. We saw it, like, during its first run, like, a long time ago, but we just bought it. So we watched, like, the first... It's only 6 episodes, season 8. Yeah. So we watched, like, the first 3 or 4, and, like, the first couple were fine.
They're okay, yeah.
I was like, oh, these are actually pretty good. And then, like I said, they get to the mummy one, and I'm like, oh, this is where we started. This is where we started going off the rails, I see.
Now, I think there was a couple of Billy Bean ones in that season.
Yeah, because I think we had encountered Billy Bean like once before.
A couple times in there,
but yeah, we talked about Billy
Bean.
And his
ministry.
Yeah. Jack Marlin says, top 5 best episodes of A Haunting. Ooh, that's hard.
Because we can't remember the names.
Well, you're going to say Haunting of Summer Wind. I mean, that's probably like the best one.
Haunting of Summer Wind, I think, is the best one. The pilot episode that had Mr. Gordy.
That's a Haunting in Georgia.
A Haunting in Georgia. That's pretty good. Haunting in Connecticut. That was the one.
That was another pilot
where the boy was thought he was dying, and we was seeing
the funeral home.
Seeing
and all
the
that.
Funeral home. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. That was
that
a good one.
Yeah, we don't have that one either. That's one of the pilots. You have to buy that one, I think. I think the two pilots might come in a different DVD or
they're separate because I think because they're pilots, I think they're like longer.
They're longer.
I thought
right.
they were like movie length. I know that we did. I'm pretty sure we did. We talked about both those. I know we did Haunting in Georgia.
The apartment was good. Monster in the apartment.
Yeah, good. We should probably do that one of these
fucking
days.
Fucking Devil's
too.
Child. That one was really
good. Oh, yeah, Demon Child.
Demon Child, yeah. And then the one with the when they were in Taiwan. The ghost that was...
Hungry Ghost.
Hungry Ghost was a good one.
Somebody brought that one up yesterday.
Yeah, Hungry Ghost. Trying to think what else was.
Yeah, those are pretty much the ones I probably would have picked as well.
Yeah, those are the top ones, I think.
Those are like the ones that stood out the most because they had something, you know, like Hungry Ghosts had something like different about it because it was set in Thailand and there was a whole different like vibe going on.
Thailand.
Two completely different countries, Jenny.
Yeah.
What
the fuck am I Bobby Mackey's was okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I didn't mind the Bobby Mackey's one. Yeah, and like the ones that are kind of set in bars and stuff like that, those kind of stick out.
Kind of samey.
Well, but there's another one. There's another one that maybe we should look into doing, which was the Wheat Sheaf Horror.
Wheat Sheaf Horror,
that I think was like set at a British pub or Irish pub. I can't remember where that one was. I remember
that. It was Haunting in Ireland.
Yeah, I remember that one being okay.
Yeah. The Haunted Victorian. I remember that one.
Sally's House was pretty good.
Yeah, Sally's
We did a show about that one too.
That's the one with
like
the black ghost going
with all the toys
my house.
Moving around.
Was that Sally's House?
No, I don't think so. Which one was that?
He was the ghost.
I mean, I know which one you're talking about, but I can't remember like which.
I don't remember the name of that one.
Zach said, "Have you guys ever done a full-on show about Bobby Mackey's?" Yes, we did.
Yeah,
it was a while back.
There's one if you guys can remember it, we'll review it. I just don't remember the name of it.
Jack said it might be The Calling.
Might be The Calling. I'd have to check. Some people move into a house, and this house was given to a freed slave back in the 1800s for his, like, service rendered, I think. And he lived in it and died in it, and then later on some white people moved in there.
And he didn't like that too
much. Yeah, and he was haunting that house, and they said they'd wake up, and they'd see this fucking scary old fucking black dude with white eyes and fucking 1800s clothing with his damn cowboy hat going, "This is my house! This is my house!" And fucking, "Oh, shit, yeah, this is your house." And just the dude they got to play the ghost and everything, it was fucking spooky looking. He looked kind of like a black Clint Eastwood coming after your ass, didn't he? Kind of had that Clint Eastwood.
He did a bit. It's been a while. But we'll see if it's... It might be The Calling. I can't remember the name of it. I remember what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it. Because, like I said, they always just... They just have, generic titles.
With that hat and the way he was dressed, it just reminded me of, High Plains Drifter. Which is another ghost story, a revenant story.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that Clint Eastwood movie, High Plains Drifter, is paranormal.
Shit, paranormal.
It's a paranormal fucking story. It's basically The Crow. It's basically the same story as The Crow. Just people don't realize it. That's a ghost.
Danny Rowling said a Canadian ghost would say, "This is my hoose."
Yeah, this is my hoose.
A. You hoser.
There was a Canadian series that had some really good shit in it. Remember they had the...
I forgot all about that.
The Korean-Canadian guy who was the
Yeah, that's right. What the fuck was that show called?
Each episode had three or four stories in it. They were all very short.
Yeah.
Which lended credibility to me because the stories weren't very complicated. Just people would go into a house and they'd see something and they never could figure out what it was. It wasn't a long, drawn-out story.
Yeah, I remember liking that show.
And it was shot in Canada in an abandoned skyscraper.
Yeah, that's right.
Down somewhere in Ontario or something. And it was real good. I don't remember the name of it, though.
I don't either. But it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack said, I think the first four seasons are better than the new ones. Yeah, they are. I mean, we've done a lot of episodes from it, but we mostly stick... We own the first, because I don't know like if you've watched a lot of these that we do, but we own the first seven seasons, and we just bought the eighth season, like, online. And we've been rewatching that, and a couple of those are good, but yeah, after about season five or six, they started to go kind of like not so good.
Then you guys can remember what that Canadian series was. I'll try to buy it because I want to see it again. Was it Mysteries of the Unexplained? No, it wasn't Mysteries of the Unexplained. It was Ghost Stories.
I don't remember what it was. We just randomly came across it on, I don't know if it was on Destination America or Discovery or something like that. Like when we were flipping, when we used to have cable and we were flipping through there. Yeah, Danny Rowling said, too bad the first two episodes didn't come with the first four seasons.
I know.
I guess they figured they could just sell them separate because they were movie length.
I should buy them because I don't have them.
You know, but I'm pretty sure you can get them on DVD, though.
Are they both on one DVD?
I don't know. Okay. You'd have to, like, look into that.
Look at Pook.
What's she doing?
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. She's laying on her back, and she's totally flattened out. She's like,
she's sleeping.
You know how like a badger would flatten out and go underneath the door? She looks like she's been flattened out. Look like you've been run over, Pokey.
Don't say that.
I know that. She just looks flat as a board. It's hilarious, man.
She was playing with her little mitt toy over there, and I guess it tuckered her out.
She's been hilarious all day, just pestering us. Honestly. Trying to get us to do something.
She just constantly wants attention. I think we were talking about that yesterday, how it's just like having a kid, because they're like, Mom.
Hey, Oracle, do you remember the name of that paranormal series? It was Canadian. And they had a Canadian-Korean guy who was, like, the host. And I think he's Korean. I mean, you know, I lived in Korea. He looks like a Korean. But, you know, from Canada. And he was always introducing the next case. He was up, like, on a floor of an abandoned skyscraper from, like, the 20s or the 30s, overlooking a Canadian city. It might have been Ontario. It was a really good series. Each episode had, I don't know, about four or five little bitty, like 10-minute ghost stories of something that somebody saw, or a poltergeist story, or something that was kind of, I don't remember it, though. I don't remember the name of it. It had good music. It was around the same time as The Haunting.
Zach says, Haunted Canada?
No.
Or Yankee Vampire said, was it Paranormal Encounters?
Paranormal Encounters.
It might have been.
I think that is. I think that's what it was.
Jackson, what do you think about the Paranormal Activity movies? The first one, I kind of liked the first one, but I haven't really... I didn't like it enough to watch any of the other ones. But I did like the first one. I have it, actually. I own it. But the other ones, I was just kind of like, I think I've seen enough of that. I'm not a big found footage girl, you know? Some of them are good. Found footage movies, I tend to prefer ones that are like mockumentaries more than like straight up found footage. But there are like, you know, there are some found footage ones that I like. But so it's not usually like a genre that I seek out all that much or that I'm all that into. But, you know, I have liked several of them. Hey, are you guys Canadian? I don't know. I'm new to your channel. No, we're in Florida.
Yeah.
Actually. We're Southerners. Well, I'm a Southerner. You're originally from California, but...
Yeah,
but
my families are Southerners.
But your family is Southern.
Yeah, and I grew up in Mississippi about half, one-third of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in Central Florida, pretty much. Not too far from Orlando, matter of fact. Oracle says, is Pookie doing a flat cat plank? Is she still doing it? Yeah, she's awake now, though. She's laying flat on her back and her little back feet are sticking out like that. And then like her front paws are like that. And she's just like looking off into the distance. She's crazy. She just lays like that all the time in the middle of the floor. She's a nut. All right. So are we ready to start talking about this episode?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or...
No, I'm going to check on some stuff.
You going to check on some stuff?
Yeah, I want to see if that was called Paranormal Encounters. I think it was.
That sounds right. But like I said, there's so many paranormal shows, and they all have names like that, like I said.
It's Canadian Paranormal Documentary. It premiered in 2005. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
81 episodes. Four seasons of it.
God damn. I know we didn't see fucking...
Yeah, Lawrence Chow.
That's it.
Lawrence Chow, yeah. So
thank
that's
you.
It.
Thank
so,
you, Yankee
so he's
Vampire.
Chinese. He's Chinese ethnic background, not Korean. Because that's a Chinese name. But I thought he looked Korean to me. He's a real good host, all right?
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah. I liked him as a host. He was very charismatic.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He's in a suit. He's up there. And he kind of like, almost kind of reminded me of Rod Stewart. Rod Sterling.
Serling.
Yeah. Serling? Is it Serling or is it Sterling?
Okay. It's Serling.
Rod Serling, yeah. It kind of reminded me of him, you know, with the introducing the Twilight Zone episodes. He's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I liked the host.
Not as spooky, but he's a little more lighthearted, but his lightheartedness fucking made him kind of spooky. You notice that?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Some of the paranormal stuff kind of had a hopeful message, you know, like near-death experiences when people, loved ones coming back from the grave to give a message, you know what I mean? So he kind of, some of it was kind of uplifting. It's a real good series, only four seasons. 81 episodes. I wonder if you could buy it.
Stream it. Yeah, I imagine you can probably stream it. You can probably stream it for free, honestly.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, thanks for telling us because I would never have... Because like I said, it's just kind of like, look, we found that show from 2019 with William Shatner on it that's just called The Unexplained.
It's good,
With an X. And it's really good, but I'm just like, can you guys, like, think of better names for shows so they're
generic.
So they don't get them all confused. It's like, have a name with, like, some punch or something like that, right. You know what I mean? Danny Rowling said, the mom's... logic of sticking a picture of Jesus in the closet was very smart. Nobody ever, as if that would drive away a demon. Yeah, we'll get into the picture of
Jack,
Jesus.
When you look at it, he says, I always thought that the ghosts in Summerwind were Native Americans. I didn't believe in the Carver angle. If you actually go back and really look closely at the Summerwind case, the photographs of Summerwind and stuff, a lot of that tale is easily explained by the photographs of what fucking... Summerwind actually looked like. It was in bad condition, all right? There was nothing there. I don't believe there were any ghosts. I don't know. Maybe there were, but a lot of the stuff in that story that makes that story so interesting can be easily explained by other things. You know, they didn't want to come work on the house because the house was fucking falling apart. Didn't matter how much money you'd fucking sink into that house. It was never going to be anything based on the photographs. That wood was fucking ready to go. That house looked like it was getting ready to fall down. So, bad investment if you ask me. And it burned down, but somebody burned that down because that thing was an eyesore. And it was in between two other pretty nice houses, you know, out in the country off of a lake, you know, kind of a resort area. And teenagers were going in there partying, so I imagine those neighbors like sick of that shit. They went in there with some diesel fuel and set that bitch on fire.
Well, it was probably bringing down their property.
property value and everything. That house was a waste, man. Based on the photographs, the architecture was shitty, and what it was made out of looked like shit. It was just looked like damn near untreated wood. It wasn't built to last when you looked at it.
Zach says, I just Googled Lawrence Chow, and hoo boy, I forgot how fine he was. He was he was pretty foxy, I remember.
He was a good-looking guy.
He was, yeah.
Probably still is a good-looking guy. Wasn't long time ago.
He's not dead or anything, I don't think. Just like, yeah, I'm sure he's still a good-looking guy. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, he's probably 50 now.
Yeah, that's all right. That's not old. All right, Danny Rowling said, someone should try and locate the house used in this and many other episodes. This one, I think, will probably be harder. I couldn't really find, because this is one of the ones where they didn't use their real names. And they wanted to be in shadow, so you couldn't really find. And honestly, they were pretty vague about where. I don't even think they ever said what town it was in, which I'll get into in a minute. Are we ready to talk about it?
Yep.
All right. So the main woman that's talking. This is not her real name, but on the show they called her Sarah Miller, and again, not her real name. So she just appears in. silhouette, as does her daughter. So apparently she has a son and she had a husband and stuff like that, but they didn't appear on the show. So you only have the mom and the daughter, and then later on you have the paranormal investigators who show up like, you know, their real selves. But they didn't want their identities known. Now, the location given is only Northern California, which, yeah, that narrows it down. Just basically says, in the shadow of the Cascade Mountains, it said that. Now, it is stated later in the program that they had moved from Redding, California, which I think is in Sacramento County, yeah. But I'm not sure if that's true or not, or if they're just trying to, like, throw you off the trail. So, I don't know. But maybe they really didn't want anybody knowing who they were. So, starts out, it's fall of 2000. So, Sarah is a single mom, and at the time, she has a 13-year-old daughter that we're calling Becky, and a 5-year-old son that we're calling Jack. So she has just bought like this small kind of 3-bedroom ranch house. She said she'd saved up for a few years, you know, to buy it so that she'd have like a better place to live. I guess they'd been living in an apartment in Redding, California, I presume. I don't know if they were just like trying to throw people off the trail or whatever. So Becky, the teenager, is being a real fucking teenager about this whole moving situation. You can't really blame her. I mean, she's 13, you know. She's pissed off because she had to move 90 minutes away from her old hometown and all of her friends. So if they actually did move from Redding, it's somewhere in Northern California, 90 minutes away from Redding. So I don't know where that is. But yeah, she said, I had grown up in the city. I was used to the city and this place felt like a different world. So I guess they moved kind of out in the middle of nowhere a little bit. So they move into the house. The furniture isn't going to show up until the following day. So the family all kind of camps out in the living room floor in front of the fireplace because I guess it's cold. So there's a storm and the power goes out. And then Becky she's like, well, how am I supposed to go to the bathroom now? Like, she's very, like I said, she's a very teen about everything. How am I supposed to go to the bathroom now? So her little brother is like, well, I have a flashlight. Like, quit your whining. So she goes down to the bathroom, like, and she's weirded out. And she said that even when they first moved into that house, she was like, the hallway, like, always really scared her for some reason. She didn't really like to walk down the hallway. So now on the show, and this is, again, we're going back to the whole thing where it's like a lot of times they'll show stuff on the show, but that's not what the person said, or they didn't say that, or that we know of. So on the show, she's in the bathroom and she's washing her hands or whatever, and there's like a creepy face behind her in the mirror that shows up during a lightning flash. Like, it's lightning and then there's a face back there like over her shoulder. But she didn't actually say that she saw that. And actually, I will say to the show's credit that they didn't actually show her seeing that either. It was just kind of like she was looking down at the sink and then poo-poo, you know what I mean? Like the lightning flash. And
there's foreshadowing.
There's a scary face back there. Yeah. I guess they were just trying to convey that she was like creeped out or she felt like she was being watched or something like that. They do that a lot on the show. If somebody says, I felt like I was being watched, then they feel justified to like put some shit in the background that like they don't see.
They're trying to make a good episode.
Sure.
So I can understand it. And it does interest you enough in the case to where you try to research it yourself.
Right.
If you're interested.
Like I said, this one you couldn't really because they didn't give their real names and I didn't even really like know how to narrow it down so much.
So you just got to go. And I don't necessarily think that means that the people were lying. A lot of times that adds a little bit more to it. Because we were going to go on a haunting, and Lois and Red were afraid to appear on the haunting. They didn't want their relatives to fucking think that they were crazy. Yeah. But the relatives knew. So I don't really... But they didn't believe it. They weren't there.
The thing about it is that I don't know. It's like when they were talking to us about it and you were like, well, you know, you can be on the show like in silhouette or whatever. Right. But then the thing about it is that if you're on there like with your face and, you know, and you say, oh, my aunt and uncle, then obviously like through deduction, like everybody can figure out who that is.
Well, I got 9 aunts on my mother's side, so it could be one.
So it could be. That's true. It could be.
Yeah, but what the deal is that the aunts all fucking didn't believe. They were all real hardcore Christians and they didn't believe in that shit.
Right.
Because their dad was a Baptist minister and they thought he was full of shit. Okay, so therefore, ideas like demons and devils and shit like that's all bullshit, too. A lot of times, the fucking the children of ministers and clergy are the fucking biggest disbelievers. Because they're like, dad was full of shit.
Yeah, well, they grow up with that.
They grow up with that shit,
Like, you know, they probably see a lot of the hypocrisy and stuff like that, like, firsthand.
My granddad was fucking weird. He was a fucking aerospace engineer, worked for fucking NASA, Grumman, fucking Grumman Aerospace, McDonnell Douglas, was on some fucking badass projects, but they recruited a lot of those guys from religious schools because they could trust them, you know, and they were right. But he was also fucking ran a little ministry and shit out of his house, you know, fucking had a fellowship, would come over like 12 people. They wouldn't have television, no television. You could have a radio, but you couldn't have television.
It was like, see, I mean, that's like some hardcore shit.
Yeah, right.
I never knew anybody. I knew some, like, pretty religious people growing up, but nobody, I didn't know anybody that was that religious.
Every one of my aunts was out of there, moved out of that house by the time they were 14 or 15. They wanted the fuck out of there. And it was like,
I don't blame them.
It was like a quiver full of family anyway. I mean, they had a shit ton of kids.
Yeah.
They were trying to be fruitful and multiply, and only had one uncle on that side. And, as soon as they were 14 or 15, they were fucking split.
Bye.
Yeah, Lois and my mom split together.
I don't blame you. If I'd grown up like that, thankfully,
too,
like,
strict.
My parents were not strict.
Too strict.
And were not religious.
My mom was like 14 and Lois was like 16 and they fucking said, or 17. Lois was old enough to fucking get an apartment and shit. And fucking, she's like, I'm out of here. You don't want to come with me? And she's like, yeah, let's get out of here. They fucking left.
Yeah, fuck this shit.
I mean, they were the kind of thing where they're fucking, they go, oh, we got a present, everybody. Guess what we got today? We got candy. We got one Snicker bar here. We're going to cut it up. Fucking, and then giving people little pieces of a Snicker bar. Okay, the next week we'll eat the other Snicker bar. You know what I mean? They got money.
I can't with people like that.
It's just kind of like, what?
Like, look, if people want to be like that, that's on you. Fine. I'm not saying people shouldn't be allowed to be like that. I'm just saying that I don't want to hang out with you. And it's like, it kind of sucks for the kids because they didn't really have a choice, did they?
Yeah, right. They're like, what the fuck is it?
Right. It's like, you know, you're imposing that shit on your kid. Your kid's like, yeah, I don't like this, really. I just want a fucking Snickers.
Shouldn't have brought a candy bar at all. You get one candy bar and cut it up.
That's what I mean. It's almost like worse than having no candy bar. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Why not just get six candy bars, give each one of them a candy bar? Yeah. No, they're going to give them all the one little piece of candy every day. We got six candy bars. Everybody's going to get a little piece every day of this candy bar.
Well, what? Because they don't want them to indulge, or they don't want them to get fat, or what's the deal?
Probably just like indulgence and patience and being to, you know what I mean, and cooperating. They read into some,
like, well, I mean, I get that, and those are like noble things to teach your children. I'm not saying that, but I'm not really sure that's the best way to go about it. I don't know. I'm nuts. I only have cat
children.
These
are Christians, man. You have
Christ- I only have cat children.
These are Christians. You have Christmas. That's one day where you open up all the goddamn presents. It's not Hanukkah where you fucking open up one present.
Every day for 8 days.
It's not like that. Yeah, yeah. We're doing Christians now here, you know. But they try to get all Hanukkah on them. I was trying to explain that to the fucking Jewish guy.
Trying to get all Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to explain that shit to fucking Rob Levinson, the fucking friend of the show, who said some shit. You Jewish. And I was saying, and it says, you don't understand Baptists, and fucking, because there's a big streak of Old Testament stuff in there.
Well, yeah.
They do a lot. And when you piss, they'll use fucking terminology from the Old Testament. They'll say shalom and shit like that. And the madder they get, the more Old Testament they become. Which, next thing you know, they have the right to fucking kill you. You know, and so they start fucking quoting fucking Moses and shit.
You gotta watch.
You gotta watch
with those people.
You gotta watch it. Yeah.
Just saying.
We're gonna strike you down. We're gonna give you back to God.
I mean, you know, most of them are fine, but
they can go ISIS on your.
You gotta
ass.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, it's like the
it's
same
exactly
mindset.
Exactly the fucking same mindset.
It's the same mindset. So you gotta watch it. Oracle said, as a preacher's kid, we get the backstage view. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Danny Rowling said, in my teens, I knew someone's sister's boyfriend who was possessed and had an exorcism done. Scared me to the point that I started carrying a mini Bible around one summer, but grew out of that real quick.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so where was I? Yep.
Okay. We're just telling good stories.
Fucking
up, derailing the show.
Well, you know, what else is there?
Yeah, well. That's why we got a lot of people on the show.
That's, yeah, maybe. Although, like I said.
But this is better than a sidetrack show, if you ask me, though. Talking about fucking haunting. It's more fun to me, I think. Although
sidetracks are fun too, And then I don't really worry too much about it. Anything where I feel like there's where people are coming there to like mostly listen to a topic.
Yeah.
And then we get sidetracked. I don't mind a little bit of sidetracks because, you know, it's like, I'm kind of like that too. But it's like, if we get so much off into it, we're talking like for half an hour about some other shit.
Can't go on for
then I start getting like stressed out because I'm like.
We can't go on for an hour and a half anyway because I got fucking curry waiting downstairs I made earlier today. That shit's sitting there just fucking curing in its own.
It's sitting
juices.
There calling us.
Yeah, it's good. It's real good curry.
It is. We had some like several hours ago.
Yeah,
it
was made a big old pot of it.
Yeah, with chicken
fucking
and potatoes.
Chicken and potatoes with stuff that came out of the garden.
Jack Marlin says this Dave Considine, who's the guy that's the paranormal investigator dude, demonology guy. That is he the real deal? I don't know. I just kind of these types of dudes. I don't think he was did he have anything to do with the Warrens? I don't think so.
Most paranormal investigator.
He had to do with Bishop McKenna, which we'll get into in a little bit. And Bishop McKenna was one of the dudes on the Smurl haunting. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like a famous haunting. They made that like movie, that TV movie, The Haunted, about it. Remember, we talked about that.
McKenna was on some pretty big cases, some of them probably real. But I wasn't there.
Right. Oracle said, we also come here to admire Pookie and Beijing when they appear.
Yes. Beijing's never appearing on camera.
You know what, though? But she has been coming up here...
To steal food.
To steal food from Pookie. Because she has a bowl downstairs. Now, Pookie also has a bowl downstairs, but Pookie also has a bowl upstairs. Pookie mostly eats from the bowl right here in my office. Yeah. Other day, I looked over there because Pookie was like, what was that? What was that? And I looked over and Beijing was eating off her dish.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, Pookie must have gone downstairs and eaten out of Beijing's dish.
It's dish wars.
And then Beijing was like, fuck you, little baby. Yeah. I'm coming up here and eating off of your dish.
Yeah. You're violating each other's space.
I know. I kind of feel like that's probably what it was. Because Beijing hardly ever, like, comes upstairs. Like, she comes upstairs sometimes, but it's like she doesn't hardly ever come in my office and, like, eat. So I said, oh, Pookie must have eaten off her dish and she's taking revenge. But, yeah, so, all right. So, face in the mirror, blah, blah, blah. We're not sure, like, if that really happened or not. So, the next day, Sarah's boyfriend, Steve, again, not his real name, shows up with the furniture. Now, Sarah's mom, Ruth, she comes there, too. She's apparently going to... She wants to be closer to them, because, like I said, where they moved to was, like, 90 minutes away or something. So, she's like, well, I'm going to buy a place, like, close by... but until that happens, she's going to stay in the house so she can look after the five-year-old, right? So that afternoon, Sarah and Becky, the mom and the daughter, are in Becky's room, like, unpacking. And Becky starts bitching, because, like, she bitches, like, pretty much a lot. But like I said, she's a 13-year-old girl. That's kind of what they do. So she's kind of, like, bitching that it's, like, freezing cold in the room. Now, in her interview, real Sarah... says that room was very, very cold all the time, like significantly colder than the rest of the house. Or like as soon as you went out the door, like it felt totally fine, but that room was like super, super cold. And then the actress that was playing her says, oh, and it smells funny in here too. Now the real woman didn't say that and they never really bring that up again. So I'm not really sure like why that was added, but whatever. Now, so they assume that it's just this vent that's kind of like, because the window has like this big windowsill. It's almost like a window seat, but then it has like this big vent on it. So they're like, oh, well, maybe it's broken or something like that. I'll have my boyfriend look at it, yada, yada. Now, in her interview, real Becky, who's the daughter, said her mom told her, oh, maybe the room is cold because you're at the far end of the house and you're not getting the heat or whatever. But Becky said it felt like something else, like it didn't feel right. So there's that. So Steve, the boyfriend, has to go back to Redding to work the next day. I think he worked on his dad's ranch or some shit. So he went back there. But he's dropped off all their stuff. Like, he was the one that drove the truck and brought all their furniture. So it seems like nothing happened for, like, a month. Like, a month goes by, they said. Now, Becky gets woken up one night by what sounds like voices outside of her window. Real Becky said it sounded like a man and two women, and she said that it sounded like they were trying to get her attention. Like, I don't know if they were, like, calling her name or something like that, but she said they were talking loud enough, like, right outside the window. It sounded like that, so it sounded like they were talking, trying to get her attention. So she goes and looks and calls out the window, but obviously there's nobody there and nobody answers. So the next morning, Becky shuffles into the kitchen, like, where the kids and everybody are, like, eating breakfast and whatnot. And she's still got her little jammy pants, and she looks all, like, you know, like that. And her mom's like, what the fuck? It's, like, 7 o'clock. It's time to go to school or whatever. And she's like, yeah, there was, like, all these voices, like, talking outside my room last night. God, she was like that. But mom is like, oh, well, it must be just the neighbors. And then Becky's like, Mom, the neighbors, like, live super far away. Like, it obviously couldn't be the neighbors, yada, yada. And so then Sarah's like, well, you're just stressed out. And then, like, real Sarah says, oh, well, you know, we just moved, and she doesn't have any friends. She's starting a new school and blah-de-blah. So it's like she's probably just, you know, it's probably just anxiety, and she's, like, you know, she's having some problems or whatever. So a few more weeks go by. So I'm guessing, like, just from the way they laid this out, it seemed like it wasn't, like, a constant barrage of supernatural activity, but it was just, like, something weird, like, every now and then. Either that, or it was stuff that wasn't, like, worth mentioning, I guess. So as the next weeks go by, Becky said she started to feel a lot more isolated. She's experiencing stuff, like, weird feelings and hearing voices and stuff, but nobody else is, and nobody believes her when she says stuff about it. So her and her mom are, like, not getting along, and she also is not having that good of a time in school because she's new and, like, no one will hang out with her and blah, blah. Now, one afternoon, Grandma takes Jack, the little kid, to the skate park, and Becky stays home to do homework. Now, I think the mom is home, too. But so Becky's in her room. Now, she has this ceramic ballerina music box type thing, and it's on top of her TV. Now, while she's sitting on the bed, like, reading her, you know, homework or whatever, and apparently the ballerina, like, slides over a couple inches, like, by itself, like, on top of the TV.
And I guess they see that.
Yeah, well, I get, yeah, she said she saw that.
Yeah.
So she said it slid over like it and like that, and she was like, "What the fuck?" And like gets up and like she kind of slides it back into place, like into the center, and then at that point it like slides off by itself like really fast and like falls off on the floor and breaks. So obviously she freaks out. She rushes in to tell her mom. Mom is on the phone and doesn't have time for her teenage nonsense. And she says, it was probably just the vibration from the TV. And she's like, Mom, the TV wasn't even on. You know, she was like that kind of tone. You know what I mean? You guys know. So Mom thinks Becky is just being dramatic. And she's like, look, if you hate your room so much, like when Grandma moves out, you can have the other room, right? So she's like, okay, fine, whatever. And then she like storms back. But when she goes back to her room, though, it's totally trashed. Like, there's just shit everywhere. Like, there's crap all over the floor, and there's, like, all the pictures are crooked or falling off the walls or whatever. And apparently she'd only been gone for, like, a minute or something, like, when she went in there to tell her mom about the ballerina, and something is, like, trashed her room in the interim. So she's, like, freaking out about that. She said it looked like, quote-unquote, a tornado hit it. So she screams for her mom. Her mom comes. She's like, Jesus Christ, I'm on the phone. And then she looks in there. She's like, what did you do? And she's like, I didn't do it. And then she's like, whatever, just clean it up. You know what I mean? Like, she was just mad and told her to clean it up. She doesn't believe her, right? So several months after they move into the house, Grandma gets her own place. Like we said, that's going to happen. She moves out. So Becky moves into her room. She said it was kind of a lot better after that because she said that she felt a lot safer, like, in Grandma's room, and she really didn't like the room that she had been sleeping in. So Jack, the little kid who's 5, moves into Becky's old room. Now, prior to this, he'd been sleeping in his mom's room, because, like I said, he's only 5. So once Jack is in the cursed haunted room, I guess, Jack gets woken up by noises coming from, like, inside his closet. So it just kind of sounded like, and like I said, I don't know if this is what, because he wasn't on the show, but it sounded like something kind of like hitting the back of the door or somebody like stepping around in there or something like that. So he gets up and like opens it. He's a brave little kid. So he gets up and like opens the door like, what the fuck is going on in there? Like looks in there, but he doesn't see anything. So then he closes it back and then he gets back in bed like looking very suspiciously like at the closet door like, what the fuck's going on in there? So then kind of pulling, They kind of pulled a poltergeist on us, I feel like, because he goes like that, like, to look underneath the bed, and then when he comes back up, the closet door, like, opens by itself, and then Jack turns around and sees, like, 2 apparitions, essentially, like, standing there by the bed. He said, it's 2 guys.
What they show on the series is it looks like 2 damn Ku Klux Black shadowed Ku Klux Klan dudes glowing eyes. Either that or damn Jawas.
That would be pretty freaky if you woke up in those 2 Jawas.
There's like 2 Jawas. 2 Jawas in the Klan. Because they had the point. Didn't they have the point? Wasn't it pointed?
I couldn't tell. I thought it was just messy hair, but maybe I just saw it like real quick, so yeah. I wasn't really sure.
And then the mom runs in and he goes, "I saw two guys over there."
He said, two guys.
Yeah. He didn't say anything about seeing two fucking Jawas or two clan.
Two Jawas, two clan members. Yeah. I don't think a 5-year old would know what two clan members look like. I mean, I would hope not. Not in 2000.
They just showed them like in weird hoods, just silhouettes with red eyes.
And they're just both standing there like, hey, what's up?
Well, that's not what the kids said.
Well, the kid's not on the show.
Yeah.
The kid just said two guys. The actor kid said two guys.
The actor kid says,
I saw two guys. Right. That's what he said.
So they may have been taking some liberties.
Yeah.
It might have been two just human-looking people standing there, you know?
Which, yeah, again, that would be... I'm not sure what would be scary. Right. Well, it'd probably be scarier to see, like, people rather than Jawas, because Jawas are actually kind of cute. So he tells us, so his mom and his sisters, then he freaks out, obviously. So the mom and the sister, like, run into the room, and he's like, I saw two guys, they came out of the closet, but then they were standing right there, like, by the bed. And then Becky is basically like, I told you there was something going on in this room, Mom. God damn.
Yeah.
She's very, gets an attitude about it. Becky's fucking it up. Yeah. Well, I'm just, I know. I keep doing like the teenage voice because that's what the actress kept doing. Yeah. So, of course, like Sarah goes and looks in the closet. But because when you're a little kid and there's monsters in your closet, like
when, in the closet,
when your parents look, the monster's never there. Yeah. And I'm like, well.
That doesn't make them go away, though, either.
No. I mean, the monster goes into another dimension.
Yeah.
That's, they made a whole movie about that. Monsters, Inc. They go into another dimension. So the parents can't see them. It's a whole thing. So there's nothing in there when she checks. But Jack is, like, insistent that he saw them. And Becky is like, you know, the kid can sleep in my room because it's, I know it's scary in here because this used to be my room and it's like freaked me out too. Now, later that same night, Sarah starts to maybe think maybe there is something to like all of this stuff that her kids have been saying. Like, I don't know. She was like, she kind of started to get scared too because I guess she's like, now they put Jack in this room where... Becky had kept complaining about weird shit happening in there, and now Jack's complaining about it, and she's like, so she doesn't really know if Jack was, like, influenced by stuff that Becky was saying about the weird shit in the room, or if there was really something going on in there. So she's, like, wondering about that. Now she settles into her own room, and as soon as she kind of gets in bed and lays down, she starts hearing creaking in her room, like, and it sounds like somebody is walking around inside the closet, so she starts getting freaked out too. And then the phone on her nightstand rings, and when she picks it up, and I'm like, it's the middle of the night, I guess. I don't know what time it was exactly. But so she picks it up, and there's like a weird, it wasn't a voice exactly. I'm not really sure what they were trying to do, but it was like a weird click, like staticky, kind of like, ooh, spooky kind of thing. Now, I don't know if that really happened or not, because the real Sarah did not mention anything about her phone ringing in the middle of the night and it being like a phone call from a ghost or anything. So it's funny because when we were watching the episode, I had forgotten about that, and like the phone rings and I said, oh, it's the demon calling. And then like I was making a joke and then she picks it up and I was like, oh, it is the demon calling. I was just being funny, but it actually was. But yeah, so the demon called her. Yeah, but I don't know if that really happened or if they just added that to be scary. So then she hangs the phone up, and then she hears more creaking from the closet, and then Becky calls down the hall. It's like, are you hearing that? So I guess she could hear it from down the hall. So Sarah's like, okay, you guys stay in your room, and she thinks that there's a person in the house. She said, I thought there was a man, like an intruder. So as in most of these episodes, the woman always has a baseball bat, like right next to their bed. So she gets her trusty baseball bat, her Louisville Slugger, and goes around the house thinking that there is an actual guy, like an intruder. Now, in the living room, this is very Amityville Horror, you guys. In the living room, she starts seeing blood start dripping down the wall. Like, it just kind of comes out of one thing, and then it's like a whole bunch of it comes down.
It's an iconic scene.
It's
an effective scene. I remembered this from the first day that I saw it. It wigged me out when I first saw it back in the 2000s. I was like, man, that freaked me out too. Having been through a poltergeist experience as a kid, I could imagine something like this happening. And the bad house that I was in later on, I was like, yeah, I wouldn't like to see that. I could imagine something like that would happen though, or could happen. But that particular effect, it's never happened to me. But I could imagine it happening.
That'd be pretty freaky if you saw blood coming out of the wall.
Yeah, and it was kind of a hallucination. See,
Like I said, it was kind of like, well, Amityville Horror did that, but yeah. I kind of feel like it was, it actually, it wasn't blood in Amityville Horror, was it? It was like that black goopy shit that was coming out of the toilet.
I always had this, okay, in the two paranormal events involving things that were like ghosts, ghost-like things that I saw, I never saw an apparition, but I always assumed, based on what other people said, that the apparition was something that you didn't actually see. It was an image that was placed into your mind by this thing. In other words, if you were looking at it and you pulled out a camera to take a picture of it, there wouldn't be anything there when you looked at the camera. The image was something that placed directly into your mind, kind of like it was done with telepathy. That's how I always imagined it. And I always imagined that some of these effects, like blood running down walls or something like that, you know, that you might hear about in some story, and then it's gone. My only explanation to myself was that image must have been placed into their minds through telepathy, you know. And well, I think that's basically what this story is saying.
If this kind of stuff does exist, then yeah, maybe it can like make you see things, which would explain why other people don't see the same shit as you and why you can't ever photograph it.
Poltergeist, it didn't make me see anything. It moved things. We saw that. Saw some blue haze, but there wasn't any apparitions or any, what do you call them, hallucinations or anything. And then later on at the Bat House, never saw anything move. Never saw any apparitions, never heard anything. Just an intense feeling of presence. And never could prove it. It was just a bad house. And other people were the same way. They're like, man, this is not good, whatever this is. I was like, I know. I don't know what it is. Something in here. And you'd have to walk your girlfriend to the bathroom and guard them while they were taking a pee in there. And then they'd come out. They wouldn't want to walk down the hallways by themselves. It was a bad house. But I never could prove anything. Nobody could. Nothing ever moved. I never saw anything. Nothing ever happened. Yeah. Just feelings. I felt like I got attacked by feelings, a wave of fear and anger and hatred. And then I threatened to fucking burn the house down, and it vanished. And it would like, and then it would come and go over time. But it never moved anything, you know. So was it my imagination? Was it our imagination? Who knows? How are you going to prove it or disprove it? It was just feelings, you know. Oh, somebody sent a super chat.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting for you to stop talking so I could say a thing.
Hey, I'm doing a show.
I know. I'm just saying. Thank you very much, Trey. Loving these guys. Thank you very much. BlockFrog says I'm late again. We're still only like halfway through the episode. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you got time.
We've been like farting around for ages.
Yeah, joking around shit. I'm sitting here looking at Jenny's sexy legs. Her legs are getting so nice. She's been fucking riding on a damn bicycle and shit. You're getting shapely.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to hit that.
Focus.
Okay, I'm focusing.
Trey said, sorry to interrupt like that. No, I'm glad you did, because I wanted to get back to like what I was talking
about. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so like the blood is running down the wall, right?
Yeah.
So she even touches it. The actress that they had in this, she acted with her mouth a lot. Let's say that. She always had like her mouth open like really big, like in
the
shock.
The teenager?
You know what I mean? No. The mom.
Yeah, but she's good. I like her.
Yeah,
she's
she was actually really good.
She's been in a couple other episodes.
I liked her a lot. Yeah, she's been in some other episodes. It wasn't just this one. But yeah, so she sees the blood dripping out. It's like a lot of it too. It's like it started out as like one or two drips, but then it was just like a whole like all over the wall.
It's like from Amityville.
Yeah, like Amityville Horror. So she goes over there and like touches it, and then there's blood on her finger, right? And she's like wigging out. But the daughter, Becky, comes running out, and she's like, look at the wall. And like Becky looks at the wall. She's like, mom, are you tripping? There's like nothing there. So then it's like disappeared. And she's like, I got it on my hand. And then she looks at her hand, and then there's nothing there. Now, I wasn't sure, because I'm like watching the episode. I watched it a couple times like before we did this. We watched it last night, and I watched it again this morning. Like, and I went through it a couple times like while I was taking notes on it. And she never said that she actually saw blood running down the walls, but she did say in the interview, like the real Sarah said, I thought that was our blood. So I'm assuming she did see some kind of, I don't know if it was as dramatic as like all of this kind of like blood running down the wall, but she did say, she did make reference to seeing blood, I guess.
And placed a vision in her head.
Yeah, maybe.
Like a premonition. That's my interpretation of what we're being shown. It was there and then it went away. They're not saying it was physically there and then it vanished. That's not that'd be very inefficient for a spirit or a paranormal force to do. It'd be more efficient to just put that directly into your mind, you know. Danny, an illusion.
Danny Rowling said must have been that house's time of the month, right?
Yeah.
It was the house's period.
Yeah.
He also said the mom and the daughter actors actually looked alike in this episode. Yeah, they did. They did, actually.
Well, the only thing that's funny about the mom and the daughter is it looked like there's 5 years between them.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, the mom didn't really look that much older than the daughter.
The daughter looked like she's about 17, and the mom
she's supposed to
like,
be 13, but she was clearly older than
She looked like about 17 or 18. The mom looked like she's about 25.
Yeah.
Didn't really look possible.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Zach says, what's the worst acting you've seen in a haunting episode?
Oh, shit. Well, the thing is that when
most of the acting isn't that bad. Like, it doesn't stick out.
It doesn't stand out as being bad.
It doesn't stick out as being bad.
Because everybody on it is at least serviceable. They deliver, you know, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, nobody stood out as being bad. And honestly, like, I've seen actual movies that had worse acting than anybody on this show. So,
even season 8, which is the worst season I've seen so far in this series, had good acting.
Yeah.
The production value was okay. The quality of the stories are kind of declined a little bit.
But that's not the actor's fault.
It's not the actor's fault. It's not the company's fault. It's just that they're fucking scraping the bottom of the barrel for interesting fucking stories about hauntings. Mm-hmm. There's not many cases out there. These things are rare. And or at least people reporting them is rare. You know, when we had ours, there's no way to report them. And, you know, there's no way to report the bad house. What am I going to tell somebody? Yeah, we were in this house, had bad feelings in there. We never saw anything, nothing ever moved, but that's just a bad house. Oh, well, thanks. Fuck out of here. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
Shit like that is probably pretty common. It's just that nobody reports them. There's no proof. You don't have proof to yourself. I can't prove it to myself. I just know what I felt. I know what I saw everybody else feeling. Something was bad in that house. But the mammoth was worse, so you can see it move. But that was more exciting. You could see shit move. Something was in there.
Yeah.
And then it happened at Lois's house. And that's great. You know, if you guys don't know the case, read the book. Jenny wrote it. It's good. Lois was involved and read. Before he died, he told, reminded me of a bunch of stuff that happened in that house. Well, it was in the two houses. And it only lasted for 2 weeks, and then it went away. And it happens here every now and then, but, you know.
But yeah, so I'm guessing that real Sarah did see something approximating what they showed on the show because she did say, you know, something about blood. So I guess, but she didn't say exactly like that it looked on the show. But she finally believes Becky. She's like, oh my God, there is something in here. And Becky's like, duh, that's what I've been trying to tell you like the whole time. So then they go sit in Sarah's room and like pray and whatnot. Now, the next day, Jack actually moves into Becky's room because they don't want anybody staying in that room anymore. So Sarah goes and hangs a picture of Jesus in the closet of the cursed room, since that seems to be where the activity is stemming from. Poor old Jesus, and he's in there in the closet going, don't leave me in here, it's dark! You know, I don't know. But yeah, they just like pin a picture of him in the closet because they think that's going to help. So then Sarah's boyfriend Steve comes to visit. And he's a real dick in this episode. Yeah. He's kind of like one of the quintessential like male characters in this. You're ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. He's real dismissive about this whole haunting situation. And it's kind of funny because he comes to visit and then they're kind of sitting in front of the fire and he's like, hey, honey, what's wrong? And she's like, I don't know. This is like a bad house and I want to move. And he's like, I don't believe in any of that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Hey, marry me. You know what I mean? It's like it's almost that abrupt. And she's like, oh, okay, yay. And like, yeah. So I was like, smooth. That was a real smooth marriage proposal there. He's like, yeah, I'm going to dismiss your feelings, but hey, here's a ring. So that'll make you feel better. So he's going to move into the house with them like after the wedding. I don't know. Like, I thought that was like really weird. I'm like, well, can you not like move in now? Or are you one of those people that's like they can't live together until they're married? Or I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. I thought it was odd. So one day, Becky is, I don't know, putting laundry away or some shit like that. Everybody's always doing laundry on this show. Like, the women are always doing laundry, I noticed. Because I guess that's something that you know, people have to do all the time. So when you're in the house, it's something that people can carry around. So it looks like you're not just wandering around the house with no purpose. So she has like all these sheets or whatever, and she's kind of curious about what's going on in the old room, you know, with the Jesus picture and whatnot. And I guess it's been closed off since the last incident. So she goes in and opens the closet door, and she finds that old Jesus, the picture has been turned upside down. So now I will say I don't know what it was like in real life. It would be considerably weirder if, for example, you had a picture of Jesus that was like framed and like you had the whole thing like mounted on the wall, like with a screw and like the, all of that kind of stuff. But on the episode, they basically just showed it was like an 8x10 glossy. It wasn't framed or anything. In like pinned to the wall, like essentially with a push pin, you know what I mean? Like a thumbtack. So I don't know. Like, so I wasn't all that impressed that, like, you know, you'd open the closet door and it's like, oh, it's upside down. Cause I'm like, yeah, but somebody could have reached into the closet and like gone like that and the picture would just kind of get stuck up like there. I don't know. But so I don't know. I just wasn't all that impressed by it. Whatever. But so Jesus is upside down being like, help me. And so then he was, I don't know. And so then she screams for her mom, and mom comes in there and sees the Jesus. And then she's like, you know, she fixes it very slowly. Thank you. And she's like, okay, nobody is allowed in here anymore. Anything that can turn a picture of Jesus upside down on a single thumbtack is nothing to be trifled with, clearly. So, I mean, I'm being a smartass, I know. So Sarah starts wondering, what is the deal, like, with the evil presence in this house? Maybe somebody was murdered in here. That was one idea that she had. So she's like, I'm going to go talk to the neighbor lady. So she goes next door, a neighbor lady's pruning her hedges or whatever. And she basically, the neighbor lady basically says, yeah, I was wondering when you were going to come over here and ask about that. And apologizes for not kind of contacting her sooner. Now, the neighbor says, now, as far as I know, nobody died in the house, but the woman who used to live there before had a teenage daughter who maybe practiced black magic. Always blame the goths. That's what they do on this show, man.
Yeah, she had fucking dyed hair. Was
I feel
black,
attacked.
Black, and she had wearing black clothes, and she had fucking black fishnets on. And the fishnets were on her arms. She's worshiping the devil. She lived in that house, so it's haunted.
Thank you, Camp Guy.
Thank you, Camp Guy.
Cool Tuesday to everybody.
Yeah, thank you for another
$10. Thank you.
Because we didn't get any Super Chats yesterday.
We did.
We got, I think, about $2.
Yeah, we did.
$5, I think. Yeah, we got a couple. I'm trying to pay these bills up in this motherfucker. But we understand it, man. Fucking economy's bad right now. Nobody's got any money. We get through it, though. And think about it. If y'all lose money and we lose money, that means nobody's got money. And if nobody's got money, then bills can't be paid. The whole fucking system breaks down. And if nobody can pay any bills, then shit. I've been there before. Brazil was like that during the collapse. Argentina and shit. Just how it is. You Americans will learn. So what are you Europeans? You'll learn. Okay, go ahead.
Zach says, knowing this show, if they made an episode about Tom's story, they'd probably get like a fat blonde kid to play Tom.
It wouldn't be accurate. At the time Mammoth Mountain was going on, I was like 14 or 15. I was cute as shit. I looked like a girl. I looked like fucking Demi Moore.
I thought you were 13.
13, yeah, I looked like Demi Moore. Same haircut and everything.
That would be hilarious if they actually found like a little 13-year-old actor that looked like a male Demi Moore.
Yeah. I remember around that time, fucking every now and then, teenage guys would mistake me for a girl sometimes. Weird, but the way it was. Not that I went to school with, you know what I mean?
Tom was pretty.
Yeah, I was pretty for a while.
Yeah, so this was another show where they always blame somebody's goth teenage daughter for having black masses in the house and, like, opening up a doorway to hell and shit like that. We always get the fucking blame for this kind of stuff, man. I feel attacked. I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. I don't feel attacked. But, so I even wrote my notes. As always, we blame the goths.
Yeah.
So, at this point, so Sarah decides she's going to call the priest. Like, she has a priest, because I guess they're church-going folks. So she calls her parish priest to come in for a blessing. So the priest comes in and blesses the house. She said, that seemed to work for about a month. Yeah, it always works for a little while. But, you know, if you've seen this show, you know it doesn't last. She said, actually, all that time, like, the house felt normal, like, felt safe and comfortable all that time. And during this time period, I'm assuming, at least, like, what they said on the show timeline, Sarah and Steve get married, and Steve moves in. Then, one Friday night, Steve goes out of town to visit his dad, like, on the ranch or whatever, because it's always when the man is out, he never experiences stuff. Not always, because, but 99% of the time on these shows, it's always, like, when the dude is at work or he's out of town or something like that. So, Steve has gone out of town to visit his dad. Sarah gets woken up in the middle of the night by the feeling of something choking her. Okay, like she wakes up and she's just like feels like something's like around her hands around her neck. She then says she says something in Latin, and she finds out later that this translates to "We are here." Now I was curious about this. What she said on the show, I'm not sure. I didn't take Latin in high school. I took French.
No, somos sí.
But I looked up on Google Translate. I was like, what is the Latin translation from "We are here"? And they said it was "Hic sumus."
Yeah, but she was saying "No somos si."
I couldn't tell what she was saying because I'm deaf.
No somos means we are. We are, or we are. But it doesn't mean... Somos means ser. Ser is the permanent state of being, which means we are. Estar is the location-based are. So there's a big difference between ser and estar. So
it see, was, yeah, I figured it was wrong some, yeah, what that's, they were saying. That's what I figured.
And I don't know what C is.
Yeah, she kept saying that, and I'm like, no, where is C. Where are you like, getting that from?
We are a something or other. We are, if it was a location, it would be nos estamos. Okay, nos estamos aquí. We are here.
Yeah.
Nos estamos aquí. Estamos aquí, or nos estamos aquí. We are here. That's Portuguese, basic Latin. It's probably the same in Spanish. And it's going to be real similar.
In French, here is ici, I-C-I.
Right, yeah. And Italian's going to be similar.
Yeah, they're
and
all
strangely
similar.
Enough, Romanian is going to be similar.
Well, that's not that strange that it's similar, but
it's
yeah.
It's not supposed to be a Latin language, but I can understand Romanian. It's real similar to fucking Portuguese. And a Brazilian says, isn't that funny, man? You can understand Romanian. He goes, yeah. But it's not classified as a Latin language, but we can understand it. If you can speak Brazilian Portuguese, Carioca, or Paulistano, then you can understand it. And it's not supposed to be the same because it's supposed to be Cyrillic. But it's all Roman Empire stuff. It's all descended from Roman
That's
Empire.
That's what I mean. So. If you look back to the history, right, I don't think it should be that surprising, right. Honestly, even though they use a different alphabet.
So whatever they had that actress saying, it's wrong.
See, that's what I suspected. That's why I looked it up, because I'm like, that doesn't sound quite right. Like I said, I didn't take Latin, but I took French for 4 years, I've taken Spanish, and I took a little bit of Italian also. And I'm like, that doesn't sound exactly right. It was like too many syllables. I don't know. It didn't sound right. But
she's saying, no somos. And that's the permanent state of being. We are of a permanent state. It does not translate into English or any kind of Germanic language. So she's not saying, she's not giving a location, she's giving a nature. We are a human. We are a bear. We are a white person. We are a something. You know what I mean? If it's a location, it's going to be nos estamos. Because it's a temporary state of being. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So she's saying a permanent state of being, she's saying what her nature is, not where her location is.
Right.
So it's wrong. You know, whatever it is.
That's what I figured. Like I said, that's why I looked it up, because I was like curious.
Right. She's saying, no somos si, no somos si. And I'm like, you're a si? I am a si. I don't know what a si is.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not sure how accurate Google Translate is, but they basically, they said hic sumus.
We are hic here. Sumus?
Yeah. S-U-M-U-S.
Somos, we are.
Yeah, we are here.
It's a conjugated verb.
Yeah.
Somos.
Which sounds more, that sounds more accurate. Because we are here, that's a very simple phrase. Like, hey, we're in your house, motherfucker.
All the Latin languages are running the same verb and verb conjugation system. You don't really...
That's why they call them Romance
They're
languages.
Very
they're
easy to translate most of what's happening. You may not know the right fine details, but you can understand who is what and what is kind of happening.
Yeah, they're all structured.
They're all structured anyway. About the same.
Because, like I said, I took French for 4 years, and then when I started learning Italian, it was structured. It was very similar. Yeah. So, and a lot of the words were, you know, similar. So you would kind of, like, you'd be able to figure it out. So Sarah finds out what this phrase means that she's been saying and, you know, freaks out because obviously you have some ghosts in your house saying, hey, here we are. Like, but I don't know. I feel like they already knew that. It's like, yeah, duh, you're already here. Why do you need to say that? But yeah, so she's like freaked out. So Steve comes home because he's been visiting his dad and he's been gone all weekend. So he comes home on Sunday evening and she tries to tell him what's going on. But he, like, again, he's a real douche on this show and he just like totally blows her off. And she's just like, you know what? Fucking fuck off. Like, never mind. I'll just like deal with it my own self because I know you don't believe me and you suck. And she said basically Steve never heard anything or saw anything in the house, and that he never understood. Like, she tried to tell him about the stuff, and she just felt, like, really isolated and alone. Their relationship started getting kind of strained because she was kind of always dealing with it, and he was just kind of like, I just think you're being ridiculous, yada yada. So then the next thing that happens, Becky is in her room one night, and this isn't even the cursed room. This is the grandma room that she moved to. And she's sitting in her bed, and she said she felt like something breathing on her. She's, like, close by. She said it felt like the really cold breath, like someone with really cold breath was, like, breathing in her ear. And so she jumps up off the bed, and then she goes and, like, looks in other parts of the room, and then it does it again, like, while she's standing up. And then she turns around and sees a big, creepy head, like a disembodied head. On the show, it looked like much larger than a regular head, but I don't know if that's what she saw or not. She did say, the quote, and I wrote it down, she said, a head in air, no body. It looked like she was dead. That's what she said. Now, on the show, they just showed this big, but it was a big fucking head. You know what I mean? Like, a not just like a head size head. It was like two or three times the regular size. And I thought it was a dude because I said, oh, it looked like a Rob Zombie character, but she said it was she, so I guess it was a woman. And actually, like, if you see the stills of, like, the actress that played that demon, it's very clearly a woman. But in the show, like, you couldn't really tell. It just looked like a scary head. So there's that. So Becky runs into the living room where Sarah and Steve are still kind of fighting about the shit, and she's just like, it breathed on me! And she's, like, wigging out about that. And Steve is just like, Jesus Christ, oh my God, this is, like, so ridiculous. And he's just, like, walking out. She's like, we have to move. There's, like, I saw a fucking head or, like, a big face or something like that. Steve's not having it. And she's like, we really need to move. You know, and like I said, Steve is like, you're being ridiculous. We're not going anywhere. Now, at this point, Sarah is, like, worried about Becky, the teenager. So she actually allows Becky to move back to Reading, where they moved from. Like, she moves in with, like, her friend's family or something, because she can't stay in the house anymore. So they interview, like, real Becky said, she said, I felt really bad because I got to leave the house and Sarah and Jack, like, were still stuck there. But, you know, I was relieved to get out of there. Sarah's kind of having a hard time emotionally and financially. She's like, I really did want to move, but I couldn't afford to, and I was stuck, and then, like, Steve wasn't believing me, and he was being a real douche about it. She didn't say that, but it's like, I, you know, the actor was being a douche anyway. And then she said that after her daughter left, she said that the demon or whatever the fuck it was started mimicking her daughter's voice, like, just to fuck with her. Like, she'd be, like, they showed her, like, doing some laundry or something like that, and then she'd hear her daughter's voice going, Mom? And then she'd turn around and be like, what the fuck? Like, it's the demon doing that. So I guess it was, like, trying to just, like, fuck with her. So she yells at the demon to, like, yeah, you fucking did it. You tore the family up, so just, like, fuck off. So at this point, like, Sarah contacts a real-life person, John Considine, at Phantasm Psychic Research in Connecticut, which he founded with his wife in 1994. So Considine, he's like a demonology guy, and he works with Bishop Robert McKenna, again, and I think I mentioned this earlier, who's quite famous. He worked on, like, kind of a lot of big cases, but he's probably most famous for being involved in the Smurl haunting, which was kind of a big thing. And that was actually, remember we did that 1991 TV movie, The Haunted, that was about the Smurl haunting? I don't think they made, like, a big Hollywood movie about it, but I wrote about it in my book. And I know that they made that TV movie, which was actually not bad if you haven't seen it. So John Constantine goes to talk to Bishop McKenna before he flies out to California. And then he does. He's like, okay, well, if I'm going to go and deal with this, I have to do like the whole, I have 9-day fast and praying and purging and all that kind of stuff. Not purging like throwing up, but like, you know what I mean? Purging of your sins or whatever. Yeah. Because as soon as he said purging, I'm like, so you're like being like bulimic or I don't know.
It's common and it goes through Eastern and Western religions.
I know. I'm just
the Taoist priests do it and everything to try to fucking purge out all their impurities. It goes all the way back to them. Persia also with the Zoroastrian concept of hell. You're bad, you go to hell to burn off impurities so you can become clean again, and then you come back out for reincarnation. You know, it's all that same concept. Maybe something to it.
I know I'm a terrible vulgar person, but when he said that, yeah. I was like, did he also like not jerk off for 9 days?
Probably.
That probably, yeah. It's
a bunch of ritual purity.
That's what stuff. I was thinking. So I was like, he's not going to say that on the show, but I'm like, I thought that was implied.
Yeah, scientific, okay, biological shit behind that. Fucking no fap would actually for male increase testosterone production, probably libido and energy. Okay,
I gotta run.
So you could have the strength you need to fight these goddamn demons, because you want to fight a fucking demon with a full on hard on that you're just ready at any minute. That's right. You could just pop a rock on them damn fucking demons and fucking get down to business. Long tradition, maybe some science behind it. Your testosterone might be a little bit higher during that, which would put some more fight in you. Now, I've always heard, I don't know, I was never a professional boxer, but I know back in the 70s and the 80s, evidently, pro boxers would have no sex, no FAP rules and shit for like 2 or 3 weeks before a fucking big professional fight. The trainers of that era thought that a dude fucking would fight harder and fight longer and have better endurance if he was, let's just say, unsatisfied. And there may be something to that if you understand how the endocrine system works. A male's testosterone levels might be higher, okay? And testosterone, of course, is a performance drug. And if you can't bump these dudes up with fucking steroids and testosterone before the fights, you might get a slight advantage if there was a no fight rule, no FAP rule, and no sex rule a couple weeks before the fucking pro fight. And there's a lot of money riding on it, so they're gonna be grasping for every fucking straw they can, any advantage they can. So maybe something to it. And that might have been known even in the ancient times. Maybe guys noticed that if there was no FAP, no sex, even on the priest level, that you might have higher endurance, which would mean higher testosterone, higher free testosterone in your bloodstream. So something to it, probably.
So you're gonna like try and beat the demon into submission with your erection?
No, it's a. I was.
That would be like. That would be way funnier.
I was making a joke, but you know, fucking higher free testosterone levels always equate to fucking better physical and mental endurance. It just does. And if you, this is before the ability to synthesize fucking testosterone. Now that we have in the modern world, you can inject all the testosterone you want. Okay, it works. Fucking right, it does. But no, the ancients probably knew something about it. They evidently noticed. Evidently, they did. They didn't give any sex to any pro gladiators in the Roman era until after they won victories. So they knew what they were doing.
So, 9 days, no food, all the praying, purging, we're assuming no fapping.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, that's implied.
Yeah. So, powering up. You're powering up.
Sure. To fight the demons.
Yeah.
With your erection.
Or with your mind. Well, you're getting better mental acuity, everything.
Like, it's funnier.
It's funnier.
It's funnier to think of like somebody beating a demon upside the head with their erection.
But I'm just trying to go to. I'm just trying to justify what it is they're thinking. So yeah.
Well, I get it. I get it. It's just funny to think about.
Right.
So all right. So the Phantasm team go out to California. I wonder who paid for their flight. Interesting. So they went in June of 2001. Now he says when he got there, he said there was a quote unquote sense of doom and feeling of being watched in the house. That's what he said. He brings three other people on his team. Like, there's one guy who's like an older guy who's like the tech guy, And then his wife, who's also like the co-founder, her name is Barbara, I think, or something. And then Barbie Hyde, who is the quote-unquote light clairvoyant. Not like one of those heavy clairvoyants, but she's doing some light clairvoyanting. I don't really know what the difference is between a light clairvoyant. I don't know why that stuck out to me. I'd never heard that phrase before. And I was just kind of like, well, how is a light clairvoyant different than a regular clairvoyant?
A regular clairvoyant.
We have the light clairvoyant.
A heavy clairvoyant is somebody who's really pulling out the ass. They're a real true performer, okay?
Or they're really fat? And
they're fake, okay?
I don't know.
A light clairvoyant, I think any clairvoyant would be a light clairvoyant if there's a clairvoyant, okay? So it's clairvoyant that's sometimes right.
Just a casual
wrong.
Clairvoyant.
Yeah, I can kind of get some feel.
Maybe that's what it
they're
is.
They're talking about a force sensitive. That's what they're talking about.
Okay. Now, she was at, like, the real person of this was actually, like, on the show. Her and John Constantine. The other two people on the team were not, but these two were actually really on the show.
For new listeners of the show, I'll use some damn Star Wars terminology, okay? Which there's some truth to what they're talking about. They didn't write, pull that out of their ass. That's all Taoist and Buddhist shit and fucking some other stuff. So what they're talking about is they're talking about somebody who's force sensitive. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, she's a light clairvoyant.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, I'm doing some
she's
light
clairvoyanting. She's not a Jedi. She's force sensitive.
Doing some light clairvoyanting. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So, she was on the show, too. So, they're planning to live with the family for a week. So, during this week, Becky has actually come back from Reading, like, from her friend's house, and she's going to stay there for the investigation. But the little kid, who's only 5, they send him off to stay with Grandma, so nothing bad happens. So, the first night, now, they all camp out in the living room. With one of the team kind of staying awake to monitor the equipment, and then the other one sort of like sleeping in shifts, essentially. Now, John Considine says that he was sleeping on the floor like in his little sleeping bag, and then he was very suddenly, and actually this was a pretty creepy effect on the show, because he's laying there flat, and then he was like supernaturally like pulled to his feet from a flat position on the floor. So like, I'm trying to explain like what it looked like. It was like, what, like that. Like, without bending, no bending knees of anything. He just kind of went, like, planking up like that.
Like Nosferatu did.
Yeah, like a plank kind of said, like Nosferatu. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, just prior to this happening, because I guess Barbie, the light clairvoyant, I guess she's, I'm just going to call her the light clairvoyant. It sounds like a radio station.
Yeah.
Welcome to the light clairvoyant. But yeah, so, she said prior to that happening, she said it sounded like a bomb went off. And John Considine also said that he heard, like, they heard a really loud noise, like a bomb going off. And then he goes, whoop. And then, like, he gets, like, right to his feet and he was, like, wigged out and, like, he woke up. So, Considine's theory was that this is the demonic Whatsis trying to scare them off so they won't help the family. So he's like, look, I can just like pull you up just like right like that. So how do you like that?
Verica said Becky with the good hair. I don't know who
Becky with the good
hair. What's she talking about?
I can't. I know that that's a reference to something, but I can't like remember what it is at the moment. But yeah, that's a reference to something.
All right.
Probably that you haven't seen.
Yeah, probably. I don't know what she's referring to.
Tom has a lot of like cultural blind spots where there's a lot of cultural references like to movies and songs and stuff like that that like I feel like everybody knows but he doesn't know that.
Fucking I love fucking going on the internet and fucking seeing that people commenting on the news, commenting on the Daily Mail, and when they pull it up they see on the right side of the page they'll have all the damn celebrity news, and I don't know a single one of those fucking celebrities.
Well, it's not necessarily celebrities. I don't know a lot of them
either. I don't know a single fucking celebrity. And fucking, I can go back in time, and I don't know a single fucking celebrity from fucking 20 years ago. I'm so proud of myself. I don't fucking know those. I know their names. I don't know anything they do. Like, I know Justin Bieber's fucking famous. I couldn't pick that dude up out of a fucking lineup. I don't know what
that
was
a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't even know.
Even a long time ago, I don't know. I couldn't pick him up out of a lineup.
I kind of know what he looked like when he was a kid, but I don't know what he looks like.
I couldn't pick him up out of a lineup. I don't know anything he did. I've never even heard of his songs. I'm so proud that I'm so detached.
I mean, is that really something to be proud of, though? Because
yeah, I don't even give a fuck. No, it proves my purity that I give a fuck.
Well, if you were really pure, you wouldn't even like bring it up.
No, I'm just see that
Black
shit.
Frog
and I laugh.
Says, I'm proud of you, Tom.
And then it'd be all these fucking. Then you got like these fucking chicks fucking twerking all the time, and they're supposed to be famous. I don't know who the fuck that bitch is. You know, I don't give a shit about that dude's that chick's ass. I just don't care. You know what I mean? But they got young people giving millions of dollars to these fucking big booty girls. I don't give a fuck.
But the thing about it is that I don't care either, but the thing about it is that I don't want to be one of those people that... Because I remember when I was growing up in the 80s, and, like, all the old people were just kind of like, who the fuck are those people? Yeah, like, what are you young people doing? It's like, and I kind of don't want to be that old person that sounds like that.
There's a big difference, though. Back in those days, you only had four television stations and a few radio stations. Okay? But yeah. You should have fucking known.
Nowadays, you can't really keep track of everything.
Nowadays, there's so many of them, they're all disempowered. Because fucking it's all fucking divided up. So the old system's dying because they can't force you to watch.
But the thing about it, like I said, and I think that I like that better because even though, you know, obviously you don't have the same references, I think that's probably why a lot of cultural references that everybody understands are usually from older stuff, like from 80s or 90s, because that was a time when most everybody saw the same thing.
You didn't have a
choice. So if somebody, refers to... That's why a lot of memes and stuff like that are referring back to, like, 80s movies, 90s movies, stuff like that, because, you know, everybody kind of saw those, and they've had, a long time. Yeah. Like, nowadays... You know, people make memes about stuff that, but it's very kind of compartmentalized because you know, everybody's fandom is sort of, but like I said, that's okay because you can kind of find whatever the fuck you want and other people don't know shit about it and that's all right.
I only care about YouTubers.
That's all right.
I only care about YouTubers. You know. And I got friends who are fucking Hollywood stars. I got my ex-girlfriend's Hollywood star. I don't give a fuck. I don't. It's just funny. And Mary Lynn fucking messages me. We'll fucking message each other and joke around and shit. She doesn't give a fuck either. She's just making money. She's just in another
compartment. Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it's just a job.
She's just in another compartment.
I mean, it's just a job.
Yeah, she's seen this show and she goes, oh, you guys are great. You know what I mean? She's in another compartment. That's the only difference. The rules are a little bit different over there. But these compartments open and close. It's just another gig.
That's what I mean. So I'm really not that worried about it. It's just like, I'm not going to be all grandma and it's like, oh, I don't know what these kids today, blah, blah, blah. Well, because the thing about it is like, well, what kids today are you talking about? Because everybody has their own, there's all niche, you know, it's all niche.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's fine. Like, you know, there's YouTubers, there's TikTok people, there's all these that have like millions of followers and I don't know jack shit about that. But then there's kind of like other YouTubers or TikTok people that have millions of followers and I do know about that because it's something I'm interested in. Yeah. Like somebody that's looking for Halloween decor or some shit like that. But that's okay though. Like, you know, not everybody has to like the same thing as me and I don't have to like the same thing as everybody else. Like you can just like watch whatever the fuck you want. I'm not going to like worry about it. And I'm not going to like go around saying it's like, oh, I'm so glad I don't know anything. But there's too much nowadays, you know? And I think that's good. I mean, it's harder to get noticed, obviously, but it's good because you can find exactly what you like.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
And you can kind of find your own people, your own little shit that you're interested in. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So,
yeah, Verica, it's 007. Of course it's 007.
He's 007.
Of course it's 007.
He's been around the world, yeah.
Yeah,
Well, he was in the military, and he also... I mean, before you were in the military...
My family's involved in government
he
stuff.
He lived in Brazil for a long time because of his parents, you know.
Well, my mother.
Yeah, your mom.
Yeah, but she was a single mom at that time. She was in the State Department... She was Secretary of the Consul General. She worked for other agencies. DEA was one of them she worked for. It was all bullshit.
Okay.
That whole side of the family was government. Government and government contractors. Same with me. You know, that's all I'm going to say about it right now. Go ahead.
Danny Rowling said, I liked when celebs had terrible stained teeth on camera, unlike today where they all have veneers or super white fake color teeth. Honestly, I kind of liked, and like I said, I don't want to be the old person that's like, you know, it's like, oh, everything was better back in the day. But I did kind of like that back then, everybody just kind of looked like a normal person. Now everyone kind of looks like a sex bot.
Well, you kind of have to because it's...
That's what I mean.
It's HDTV now.
That's what I mean. So everybody has to be like completely...
The thing was is that in the olden days, they needed a lot more charm and charisma. I mean, it didn't matter what you looked like. You had to have a personality behind you. And you had great people back in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s. You know what I mean? They had some real class acts that'll never be replaced. You know, Sammy Davis Jr. Fuck. Tom DeLuise. What the fuck, man? You know, they just had good people.
Yeah, you had to be a character.
Yeah, you had to be a character. fucking Gene Wilder, Pryor. I mean, these motherfuckers were just legends. Eddie Murphy, early Eddie Murphy.
All funny guys.
Yeah, you had
goes to show.
Fucking Christopher Reeves. Yeah. You just had some class acts back then. I don't know if they'd sell today. Because nothing really sells. It's just, you have to have heart.
Well, no, I mean, it does, but just not to the the culture at large. It's just that, like, you know, little pieces of the culture.
Yeah, they would all be smaller today. They'd still be famous, but they'd be smaller.
Right, that's what I mean. They'd be famous, like, in their own little niche world.
Right.
And YouTube instead of just everybody.
YouTube is the television of this era. This is the way TV was. TV was disrespected back when we were kids. Movies were respected. TV was disrespected. This is now TV. That's why we're disrespected. Real actors and actresses weren't on TV.
Yeah, but that distinction has completely gone by the wayside.
Yeah, because now
I think that even started in the 1990s.
Yeah.
But as time went on, and especially as streaming came on, and streaming services like did their own TV series, like a lot of that shit was like really good, and then people were like, "Holy crap! Like this is artistically just as good as like movies." So.
YouTube is great because it's kind of like access television, reality television, and TV and radio all mixing into one thing, and you can choose whatever you want. There's a huge selection.
Well, it's
the budget's low, but it's personalized. It's for you.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And it's like, so you can find exactly what you want. Exactly. And I think that what a lot of people like, particularly on YouTube, and like I said, I know that there's, you know, TikTok and all that kind of stuff. But particularly on YouTube, I kind of feel like what a lot of people like, what gets a lot of views, at least from, the massive subscriptions that I have, is people that are just like real ass people, like doing regular shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, I'm driving around looking for Halloween decorations at different stores in my city. Or, hey, I'm going to Aldi and buying $5 worth of ingredients and making dinner for my family out of it. It's like that kind of just regular kind of shit. Yeah. And it's just, it's not super high, you know, quality or super high like budget. Edited or
it's
high
not
budget
supposed to be.
Or anything like that. It's just like a normal ass
like
person.
Normal shit. Right.
It's that, yeah.
And that's what makes it more accessible.
Right.
And what's another thing that's great is that if you guys are young, you don't know what it was like back in the fucking days, the porn's better. Used to be back in the day, porn was artificial as fuck. You needed fucking tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. You needed a whole crew of fucking people to make goddamn porn. And it fucking was stale as shit. It sucked. Nowadays, just some girl with her phone and her boyfriend can make porn. And it's more real.
What I'm saying. I would not go back because... some things were better because, like I said, if you're new here, like I was born in 1972 and you were born in 1969. So we mostly grew up in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shit that was better back then. I'm not saying that, but I wouldn't want to go back though. Like, I think a lot of stuff nowadays is better.
Some things that were produced will never be replaced. They're fucking masterpieces. You know what I mean? Certain things that were done, certain movies, certain television programs. But in general, most of that was shit. And most of the clothes sucked. The food was good, but not all the food.
A lot of the food was kind of sucky too, I thought.
You had some stodgy ass fucking
creamy
fucking thick fucking fucking Denny's fucking bullshit food. Go to Denny's today, it's a lot better than it was. I worked at a Denny's. It's better now.
Yeah,
but they had some badass pizza back in the 70s. Their fucking pizza was fucking great. If you knew where to go. But I guess that's with anything. You know? Let's get back to the show.
Okay. We're almost done.
We're almost done anyway.
It's
okay.
Just kind of like, you know. We've been going on for an hour.
After we get done, then we'll fucking do it. I got food down there waiting.
Yeah, I'm starving. All right. So we did like the plank thing where he stood up?
Yeah.
Okay, so we did that. So basically his theory about why the demon... planked him or kind of made him stand up like that. I'm trying to think of like there's probably a word, but I can't think of what it is. I'm just like making the gesture.
It erected him.
Doing. Yeah. We're getting back to erections again. Why does that always happen? I don't know. So he's like, well, it did that because it was trying to scare us away, but we're going to stay and help the family. Yada, yada. Now, the next morning, Barbie, the light clairvoyant, tune into the Late Clairvoyant. She's back in the kitchen making some notes and praying for strength and all that jazz. And then the dishes in the drainer start rattling. There, I think there was some other shit like on the kitchen counter, like behind the sink, like a little flower vase or some shit like that. I think that started rattling too. And then the water like shot out of the sink drain. At least that's what it looked like on the show. Like this big column of water like comes out of the sink drain. And then she said that when she went over there and looked in the sink, that the water started going back down the drain counterclockwise. Now, if you're in Australia, you're probably like, and? Because that's how the shit works down there. But yeah, in the Northern Hemisphere, that doesn't happen. So we would probably be... Although, to be honest, I don't even know if I would notice that. I was thinking that when I was rewatching it. I was like, would I even notice that it was like going the other way?
I noticed it immediately when I went to Brazil.
Really?
Yeah, because you're on this side of the equator.
I mean, I know that, but it's like... So I always kind of wonder, like, if I went to the Southern Hemisphere, like, would it be something that stuck out to me?
It was weird. I was like, interesting. Wait a minute, hold on.
Because I wouldn't have thought that I would notice it, but maybe yeah, you do.
As a kid, I noticed it. It's going the other way. Because you're so used to it, but you don't realize you're used to it going clockwise. It was right. Going counterclockwise on the other side. I was like, whoa.
That's what I was kind of thinking about it, because I was like, would I notice it?
Yeah, I don't think the average person knows that. When you go on the other side of the equator, the water goes down the drain, it goes the other way.
The other way.
It's weird. Yeah.
Well, that's what I said. Well, even when we were watching the episode, I was like, oh, so you thought you were in Australia for a second because the shit was like going, because that's the Southern Hemisphere. So it does go counterclockwise, but up here it goes clockwise.
As soon as I saw it, when I moved there, it was like 14 or 15 and saw that shit happen. I was like, whoa.
Ooh.
And I didn't know.
So maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I didn't know.
What's wrong with your water?
I didn't know that it only went down one way.
Yeah.
On this side of the hemisphere.
It's so weird because
you see it go
really,
the other way and you're like, whoa.
It's really not something that would occur to you.
No, it didn't occur to me. I didn't know that was around.
To be honest.
And I told my mom. Mom, they fucking told me it went the other way. Because you were on the other side of the equator.
And you were
and
like.
I was like, what does that matter? And I still really can't grasp why that matters. That's just, why would that fucking matter?
Weird. That's so weird. It's this weird to me. That's
it has
weird
to do with rotation.
I guess. But so that's what the demon did. It made the water go the opposite way, like they were on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Which okay, I kind of want a little something more from the demon, but okay. But she noticed it right away. Apparently, she said it kept going. It was going counterclockwise. So later in the week, like I said, the team had been staying there for the whole week. So the team have a bunch of like high tech doodads, you know, and they let Becky use the low frequency microphone, which they call like the big ear. You know, you've seen it. It's like a big, huge fucking thing like that. And it picks up sounds like below 300 hertz. That's what you're doing. So she puts the headphones on. She's like, ooh, let me use it. And she like walks around the house with the headphones on with the big microphone. And she gets wigged out by hearing some shit on there. Now, on the show, it sounded like a bunch of voices. Like, one male voice said something like, shut up, and then said, she's listening, or something like that.
Yeah, somebody's choking.
And then, now, what she actually said that she heard, because, you know, the real Becky was on the show, she said it sounded like, quote-unquote, a struggle and a female choking. I don't, like, know if she heard a male voice saying, like, she's listening or anything like that, but apparently she got really wigged out. I don't think they were recording at this particular time. Conveniently. So obviously they didn't have that on the show, but she said it was like really horrible, like what she heard on there. So at this point, like John Considine calls Bishop McKenna, and McKenna's like, hey, how's California? And he's like, yeah, not so good. It's diabolical out here. We got some demon situation. This is not good. And the family's going to be destroyed if we don't do something. So later that night, they have kind of like, they get everybody together for a little family meeting. Considine tells them, I keep calling him by his last name, but his first name is just John, and that's boring. And Considine is kind of cool. It sounds like a fucking, it sounds like a fantasy series, you know what I mean? Like that last name. So he tells him, he's like, you bitches got a demon, so we need to do something. And then Sarah says, yeah, but we had the house blessed, so what the fuck? And Considine says, yeah, and at least he's admitting this. Yeah, it's always good to have that done, but sometimes, if you have a demon, like you guys do, then it just provokes the shit. Which, like, we've seen that happen on the show over and over again. And the real guy, actually, this is a quote, like poking a bear with a stick, he said. Doing a blessing. It just pisses the demon off, and then it's going to get even worse. So, of course, Considine believes that the goddamn goths in the house before opened the doorway.
They made all these dirty. They dirtified it.
Let all the demons
in. Dirtify shit, you know?
Fucking goths, man. Yeah. They're always fucking stuff up and opening doorways to demons and whatnot.
It's just one of the fucking gothic fucking
It's abilities. What we do. It's what
it's
we
like
do.
One of the abilities we have. We open up these damn doorways.
Here come the demons.
That's right.
It's diabolical. But yes, we haven't done that in a long time.
It's diabolical.
It is. Yeah. Well, that was an episode. We should probably do that episode.
Man, said I could.
We should do that episode. There is an episode of A Haunting called The Diabolical.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And then Tom
requested it.
And then Tom started doing that, like,
it's
on the show.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
It's diabolical.
And then, like, so every time he does that, like, it cracks me up. For a while, he was doing that, like, all the time.
Do that
like,
shit in the middle of the night in the bed with us. It's a diabolical. She starts fucking giggling. His legs would fucking open up like that. I crawl like that, crawl in there like that. Tell him how diabolical that shit was.
It is diabolical.
Yeah,
it
of course
is
it's diabolical.
Okay. Yeah, so... The fucking goths, man, they opened up the doorway to the demons. So Considine's going to do a minor rite of exorcism, just a minor exorcism, not like the major exorcism. He explained earlier on the show, and I think I forgot to mention this. John Considine, he's not actually clergy or anything like that, but I guess he's like clergy sanctioned. I'm not really sure how all of that hierarchy works, but so
they gave him a badge.
I guess. They gave him, like, a little... They gave him a card.
Yeah, here, you go ahead.
Look, I can do a minor rite of exorcism. Yeah. I'm not, like, qualified to, like, the major rite of exorcism. Yeah. Like, the whole, like, full deal. Yeah. Like, the Father Karras kind of shit.
They've changed the rules. Evidently, they're fucking allowing more exorcisms. They trained a bunch more exorcists. They need to exorcise all the damn pedos in the church is the first thing you need to do.
I really wish they'd get around to that.
Yeah.
When are they gonna do that? But, yeah, they haven't done that yet. So he's going to do a minor rite of exorcism. I know I'm making jokes. I know that's a thing. But yeah, he's doing a minor rite of exorcism. I don't know. The terminology just always made me laugh. So he's like, and we have to do it in the daytime. And it's like, for some reason, I don't know. For some reason, that also made me laugh. Because he's like, because he's scared to do it after dark? Or I would kind of think that like the demon wouldn't care like what time of day it was. But he's like, we have to do it in the daytime. Because I guess, I don't know, sunshine, that's God's thing. And I don't know. So he's like, all right, we're going to do it, like, first thing in the morning. So they start doing it, like, the next morning, and they're going around the whole house, like, room by room, and they're going around with the whole censer thing with, like, the incense in it, and it's very funny, and we both commented on this. The censer in this has CGI incense in it because... I mean, I'm not hating, because I guess, like, maybe if you put real incense in there or real smoke or whatever, like, it doesn't look as good on camera. So maybe, like, they added it in post-production. So, yeah, so you have, like, the lady, like, swinging the censer thing around, like, in all the rooms, but then they, like, CGI'd, like, smoke. You know what I mean? It's very clearly, like, CGI smoke. So all of the stuff that they brought, because apparently the team, I mean, they flew all the way out here from Connecticut to California. So they're like, we need to bring everything possible. So they brought like all the stuff with them, like all the stuff for the exorcism, like the sensor and all whatever the hell else they need. The thingy that flows. What is that thing called where they throw the holy water? I know it has a name. I'm just making the gesture. The thing that looks like a thing with like the silver thing with like the ball at the end. And you like fucking... throw holy water with it. But yeah, so you do that. Now, all of the stuff, like, before they left, they actually got all of the stuff blessed by Bishop McKenna, so you know it's, like, 100% effective, because he just was like, yeah, bless all this stuff, and then they brought it with them. So they go through the whole house. Barbie, the light clairvoyant, which I'm just gonna keep... I'm gonna start a radio station now, so I'm gonna call it the light clairvoyant. But yeah, so
I'm making fun of that woman's
title. I don't even know if that's her official title. That was just what Constantine called her, and it's like, I don't know why that was so funny to me. What's that thing called where they flick the holy water? The silver thing.
I don't know what that is.
That kind of looks like a dildo. It doesn't look like a dildo, but it's
the
like
holy
a pole.
I don't know.
With like a ball at the end, and they like fling the holy light.
Yeah, they live it off.
Yes,
like
women's a dildo. Always.
To me, it always looked like a salt shaker on the end of a fucking stick. On a stick.
Salt shaker on a stick. I guess. Salt shaker dildo. I don't know what it is. But,
You want one? I'll get you one.
No, it's okay. I don't want salt on it. I don't think that would be a good idea. I'm just saying. Okay. I think that would be probably pretty tragic. But yeah, so Barbara, the light clairvoyant, she says while they're going through the whole house, like room to room, she said that she heard growling, gagging, and retching noises coming from the closet in Becky's old room. The one with like the Jesus picture that got turned upside down. That's kind of where all of the stuff is. So they go through room to room, and they're essentially, what they were trying to imply on the show is they kept pushing the demon. They're like, now we're in this room, so we're pushing the demon into that room. They were pushing the demon, and so we're herding the demon. They were essentially herding the demon.
Yeah.
And they end up herding the demon into the garage, which is like the last place in the house that they're going to bless. So Barbie, the light clairvoyant, she described what she called an oppressive atmosphere coming down on you like a vice. That was a quote. I wrote that down.
I had that feeling, yeah.
Yeah. So while they're in the garage, and like I said, I don't know. Nobody said they saw this, so this might have been just added for dramatic effect. But they're in the garage, and they're just like reading the whatever, you know, the exorcism, minor rite of exorcism stuff. And like the lights are flashing, and like stuff is like rattling on the walls. It's the garage, so it's like tools and stuff. And the scary head appears while they're doing the thing. I don't know if anybody saw that, but, you know, they're just doing, like, a dramatic thing. And it apparently, I don't know, I kind of feel like this one, the exorcism was kind of anticlimactic, I guess, because they're like, yeah, we went through the whole house, and it's like, rattle, 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 and then, like, the lights are flashing, and then it's like, and then, amen, and then, ba-dum, and then it all stops, like, very abruptly.
The only thing that was lacking to this story is Lorraine Warren jumping in and spraying the damn rose. The smell of sanctity.
Smell of
sanctity. Yeah. Okay, look.
You know that bitch had like some poe. Yeah. So anyway.
I didn't do it.
The demon is gone from the house. Like, yeah. I loved, like, Anthony Call, the guy that does the narration on this. If you didn't know his name, that's what his name is. Yeah. The demon has been driven back to hell.
Yeah.
But Pookie, she's making an appearance. She's making an appearance. Put me down, Daddy.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to be on TV.
You may kiss me.
Yeah.
But she's like, okay, I'll put up with it for a second. Look
she's
at her.
She's relaxing.
Yeah, look at her. Yeah, what you looking at, Polk? What's the matter? She spaced out for a second.
She spaced out for a second. Relaxed. Did you relax?
She kind of spaced out for a second. She's like, all right, put me down.
You can jump.
Put me down. All right, so demon got driven back to hell, evidently out of the garage. Sarah, though, thinks that the house has too many bad memories. So she's like, fuck this place. She sells it. And then her and Steve buy another house across town, which they show, like, they bring in the parish priest again, and he's out on the lawn, like, blessing the shit before. I'm like, did you learn nothing from last time, Lynn? Now if you have demons in there, now you're just making him mad.
Yeah.
But she just, like, I don't know. Whatever. Becky actually ended up staying and writing with her friend's family so she wouldn't have to be uprooted again, they said. So that was that whole situation, and that was, like, the end of it. Nothing weird happened. Nobody reported anything. Like I said, I don't know where this house is because they didn't really even say what town it was in. Nobody used their real names. So this one was
kind of
like...
Yeah, there's no way to check on this one.
Not really. I mean, if you really want, if you're really determined...
You could probably
find out, but I didn't have that much time or that determination. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to invade the people's privacy.
I can't really analyze it. I can only take it at face value and can't track down who it is, you know. So just... not, and you know, can't see anything outside... the show, you know, I'm doing, you know, in terms of witnesses and everything, it's just
sure.
So I can't tell if it's a poltergeist or a haunting or a fucking whatever. Just, it is what it says it is, I guess.
I mean, I don't believe in demons, so
not in the way described in by the Catholic Church. No,
I don't.
What would a demon want with a person?
That's what I'm saying.
You're talking about a damn angelic being.
Like I said, if demons really existed, why the fuck would they like fart around with this little low level shit like that? I don't see it.
Some kind of weird evil spirit, disembodied evil. Yeah, I can understand that, but not necessarily like a demon in terms of a fallen angel. It'd be too powerful.
Yeah, they'd have better things to do.
In the Bible, they were destroying whole cities.
That's what I'm saying.
So
it's like you'd think that they would be doing that.
Right.
It's like they're not just going to fuck around in one teenage girl's closet, for Christ's sake. Why would they do that?
Right.
It just seems like they have better use of their time. Oracle said, Jenny, there's a great book series about a vicar who's an exorcist on the Welsh-English border, the Merrily Watkins series by Phil Rickman. You'd probably like it. Ooh, that sounds really good, actually. I'm going to write that down because I had actually never heard of that. So I'm going to write that down. see what I can see about it. Merrily walking. All right, so
let's go get something to eat.
All right, so we're gonna get something to eat. Don't go anywhere yet.
Okay.
It's Tuesday, so that means tomorrow is the main show.
All right.
And the thing that won, I'm sure you'll all be very, I'm excited about this. We're doing a show about two horror icons, Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. Because we did a show about Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. And so we felt like somebody suggested, why don't you do Lugosi and Karloff? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. So I put that in the Patreon poll, and it won handily. And I'm glad because...
Yeah, interesting guys, a lot of good movies. There was some dynamic between the two. Not good, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think they kind of like over-dramatized it for certain things, but... And it's good that we're talking about Karloff too, because I've been watching, like for my other channel, Scare Salon, I'm going to be watching Boris Karloff's hosted thriller series from the 1960s. I've done the first six episodes, and I'm going to be doing, like, the next six episodes. I'm going to put that up, like, probably later on this month, maybe the 24th, something like that. It's going to go up. But, yeah, so that'll be exciting. I think that'll be fun.
Good movies, man. They made good movies. Both of them did.
They did. And they made a lot of good movies together. And they made like a shit ton separate. Yeah. They're fascinating, like those two guys. So, yeah. So, hopefully, you guys can come and join us for that. Should be a fun show. Should be probably like a pretty long one, I'd imagine, too. So, yeah. Thanks for dropping by today. Thanks for your super chats. And we will see you guys again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night.